Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to What Af. My name's Gareth. His name is
Richard.
And we're together to chat about stuff. Bit of housekeeping. Let's get out of the way. First of all, there's three bits. First of all, happy birthday.
Oh, yes.
Belated.
Thank you. That's okay. I forgot myself. I remembered I had a birthday. I just couldn't remember what date we were on within this year. So I didn't realise it was that soon, like the next day.
It stops being so relevant when you get older, doesn't it? Birthdays.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
It's like, I don't really care, to be honest.
Yeah. 43 now.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
That's good.
Got there.
Go to Supreme CBD, use the code WTAF, you get 40% off everything. Amazing. And the third bit is a bit of an apology, actually, for last week. So last week, I was bad-mouthing my local garage, anyone that... listened or watched the show may recall. In brief, basically, I had been quoted a silly amount of money to fix my car by a well-known car dealership in the UK. I don't want to give it away, but do you remember a kids' TV show called Hey
Arnold?
Yeah, and what's the first pair of shoes most kids have? They're a pair of
Crocs.
No, it's a brand. Begins with a C, though.
Clarks.
Yeah, so I'm not giving the name of the company away, but there you go.
But children's TV show and early learning shoes.
Yeah, they quoted me, including VAT, like over £400 to fix my car. I was like, that's ridiculous. Okay, so I took it to the local garage. Still kind of very apprehensive. I recall saying live on air to you, I'm a bit nervous about how much it's going to cost. But basically, they were supposed to fix my car and then didn't. And then it was like 10 to 6. And I was like, is my car ready? He's like, oh, yeah, I need to sort out the bill. And I was like, but you close in 10 minutes. He was like, yeah, we do, didn't we? I'll get the car tomorrow then.
I bought these wings.
Yeah, so I'd been stuck in the house all day with Ophi, not able to take her out anywhere. And I was quite frustrated by that anyway. So I was annoyed with the garage. The next morning, I went up to pick up the car. £35.
Oh, bargain. Oh, that's lovely. So suddenly you feel like you've got loads of money, don't you? Like
no,
you've never had.
I didn't have the £400 in the first place. It was going on credit card.
Yeah.
But I paid £35. And I said, really? I said, because they were quoting like blah, 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 blah. And he went, rubbish. It basically said it didn't need any of the stuff they said it needed. Absolute nonsense.
So what was wrong with it? Did it have like a sock in the exhaust or something?
No, it basically just had a cock in the exhaust. Yeah, it basically had like a, I think it's called bushing. I don't even know what that is.
Oh, wow. That sounds worse than a cock in the exhaust.
But some had come away and he went, yeah, so I just like resecured it. It's like he said, there's no parts. Didn't replace it. It's like £35 labor, like just to fix it. It's done. Don't worry about it. And I've been driving it ever since and it's absolutely fine. So I tweeted about it, just like it's funny. And I was quoted £400 by kids' TV show and kids' shoes. And, local garage does it for £35. Then Arnold Clark sent me a tweet.
Really?
To say, oh, what's all this about? You know, and so I private messaged him. I was like, look, I ain't kicking off, but here's my registration, here's the branch, and here's the quote for £400 that it didn't need. And they said, thank you very much. And I've not heard anything from them. But I wanted to get out there that apology. Thanks, local garage.
There you go. I apologise to you for missing last night when we recorded at 8 o'clock, and I was sitting there doing your dad's post. Totally forgot that. Well, I didn't forget. I forgot what day we are again. This is what happens when you've got an 8-week-year-old baby in the house.
Yeah, I mean the apology is more aimed, really, I think, at Elora, because I was trying to settle Elora and she wasn't asleep, and I said, look, I'm going to have to go, because I need to go and do this podcast with this Richard bloke. Mm. And she said, oh, can you not stay with me and tell me a story? And I was like, well, I've already told you one story, but I have got to go and film. And she went, okay, fine. So I came upstairs, you let me down.
Yeah.
And then I went downstairs and she'd already fallen asleep. So I felt bad.
Kind of
so
did you a favour, really.
I guess. But I still had to tell her an imagination story this morning when she woke up. She was like, I apologise. I said, I'm sorry. I said, this guy Rich, yeah, in Norwich. And she said, can you tell me a story now? And I went, all right then. So I had to tell her a story. I can't remember what it was.
That's been good. Right, let's crack on with the first one. You do the first one. I think I might know what it might be, but go on.
Kate Middleton.
Yeah, I was right in my
Tower
mind.
Of Babel. It's just ridiculous. So she's been spotted again. Where's Wally? Has been spotted again at a farm shop. They've released the footage, and I mean, people were speculating, has William been having an affair? I think we've got pictorial evidence of it, because that's not Kate.
Speculated is the word. That should be the shop, when you think you see someone, but you clearly don't, and they just look a bit like them.
It's not
for glasses.
I think it's him, but I don't think it's her. And like, people have actually like gone in close on her turning her face. It's like, it doesn't even, it looks a bit like her. But if she was cast, like if she was cast in a drama in 30 years time, people go, God, she looks quite like Kate, doesn't she? But if she turned
black,
up and pretended
obviously.
To be, well, yeah, she will be by then, to be fair. But if she turned up and pretended to be Kate, you'd go, it's not Kate though. And it's not. It's clearly not her. What made me laugh today was another. I was driving down to the office, so I had TalkSport on. Because when I'm driving, I quite like just listening to mundane shite talking about football. I don't really need any hard, heavy stuff. And I don't like modern music. I'm an old man now, mm-hmm. So I can't be arsed listening to crap on the radio. So anyway, they go to the news bulletin and they're like, oh, someone at whatever hospital is or whatever clinic it is that posh people go that we can't afford to go to has tried apparently to access Kate's medical records. I'm guessing to try and go, well, I don't believe in this abdominal surgery, because it's disconcertingly vague, isn't it? Abdominal surgery. What does that mean? It could mean a million different things. And so it went to the Royal Correspondent, the media mainstream Bob
Barry Arna Sprigg.
And it was like, this is a big deal. Like, this is actually very serious. They are investigating it. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're Kate Middleton, a member of the royal family, or a wealthy celebrity, you should be entitled to have your medical privacy. And I'm sat there driving. I end up shouting at the radio. It's like, mate, you literally spent years, the last 3-4 years of people having to divulge their vaccination status to Dave the fat fucking bouncer at the nightclub, so you could get in. Oh, what on earth are you on about?
Total, like, just cognitive dissonance, isn't it?
It's insane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, everyone should have medical privacy. You've changed your fucking tune.
Of course I have, because I've been told to sing a different tune. That clearly, I completely agree with you, clearly not her, is it? But they must be trolling now, because
I think so.
You come on, that's funny. It's just funny.
Too obvious. That's the thing. I look at stuff now and I go, I'm meant to see that. And I think that with this Kate thing, I don't know what the PSYOP is, but there fucking is one.
I know, has the Royals spokesperson, Mariana Spring, come out and said that that's supposed to be her? Or are we just assuming from seeing him with a lady who looks a bit like her that we're supposed to assume that it's her? Do you know what I mean?
Well, people are putting their careers on it, because people from the BBC, people from The Sun, that trustworthy newspaper, were saying this is her. There's conspiracy theories out there, but this is 100% her.
It's not.
No, it's not.
It clearly is not, unless she has a new face, and then there's other issues going on here.
It's we're meant to see it, and I don't fully know why it's happening, but it's happening, and there's something going on, because it's so obvious. Like, they're worth billions and billions and billions of pounds. There's no way that Photoshop picture would be as badly photoshopped as that. There's
and
no way.
If you wanted to get a lookalike, you get a lookalike. I mean, we all have someone that's very close to look. We're supposed to have a doppelganger, aren't we? And
eight Saddam Husseins.
If they could get eight Saddam Husseins, they could at least get three Kate Middletons.
Exactly. And the thing is, even just a deep fake, like, that shit is like scary as hell, how accurate that stuff is. Just use that. Just, we're meant to see it, and and there's something going on for sure.
Yeah, I don't know why either, and I think that's just more fascinating than the actual thing itself.
Well, this is the thing, and I've seen a few people going, oh god, the sheeple all caring about where Kate is. So it's not actually the sheeple. I don't give a fuck about the royal family, but I want to know what's going on, because I know something's going on, and I'm being shown images that are, I would say, intentionally bad. Then, yeah, of course I want to know what's going on.
But also, fuck 'em. If that's what you're interested in, that's what you're interested in. But also, it is fascinating that she's gone missing and no one knows where she is, and that clearly isn't her.
But it just goes to show the royals can do what they want. I mean, the fact you've like we were talking about last week, a mother of three has disappeared. And also, like, she was in hospital having abdominal surgery, like I say, disconcertingly vague. And the fact that, you know, her husband has reportedly gone to hospital once to visit her in 3 months. That's not normal behaviour.
Not for a prince.
So at worst case scenario, he's a bit of a dick of a husband.
And he's come out with the wrong one. Maybe he don't know. Maybe he's come out of the wrong ward and he just cares so little about his wife, he's just going, I'll have that one. Looks a bit like her.
Okay. It does happen sometimes, doesn't it? You go to maternity wards and people leave with the wrong baby. Very rarely, I think, you leave with the wrong wife.
Slightly more than Norfolk than you think, to be honest. Yeah. Speaking of DNA, DNA tests like 23andMe and Ancestry are laying bare the frightening extent of incest in the US.
Things that don't shock me for 500 points.
Oh, but it reads like incest in the ass, which is better. Including a woman who discovered her ex-lover was her brother. Imagine that.
At least it's an ex.
Yeah, but imagine they... I mean, how did you forget that it was your brother? Like, you lived together for the first 17 years of your life. Like,
that is terrifying, isn't it? That's a Hollyoaks storyline. Do you remember that one?
Oh, all I know about Hollyoaks is the guy that got bummed over the bonnet of that car. Stopped watching after that.
You had to go and get some tissues.
Yeah, it was emotional and horny. Tits and ass. DNA tests that arrive in the mail, including Ancestry DNA and 23andMe, are exposing the uncomfortable extent of incest in the US. It makes me laugh.
Uncomfortable extent? What is a comfortable extent?
Yeah, that's incest? Too much, yeah.
The royal family is a comfortable amount of incest.
That's
USA
what I thought.
Yeah. Slightly more uncomfortable.
That's what I put. The US, you ain't been to Sandringham, have you? The tests, which run for about $100, can't say explicitly whether someone is the product of incest. Imagine that. If it just pops up, like, you know, like a pregnancy test. Yeah, it comes up like negative, positive, incest.
Why would you want it to say it explicitly? Like effing and jeffing?
You can't fucked your brother. Yeah. Stop fucking your brother. Your mother fucked your brother and your brother fucked your sister and now look at the state of your Hasberg chin and all of that lot going on. So, can't say explicitly whether someone is in the product of incest, but the results can be taken to a third-party genetic testing firm, which can. So, you can take it. You can get another opinion.
Okay. I'm like, we don't my sell test says that but we... they do across the road.
Thanks. Oh, imagine like, having to get a third-party opinion about that. One person who found out the disturbing truth about her family history was a 39-year-old Victoria Hill. That was her name, not the place.
Vicky Hill,
who at high school reunion got chatting about her family trees with an ex-boyfriend with whom she was once intimate. Oh, my God. Imagine this. I've had a few.
So you just get chatting about your family tree and then you discover it's your brother. I mean, I can understand, like, discovering maybe, like, second cousin, like, twice removed or something like that, but brother?
Yeah, exactly. How does that happen? His family makeup was similar to hers, a bit lippy, and upon talking to her, took the same test. Well, they went a text sent to her confirmed that what they feared, simply saying, you're my sister. Miss Hill says she is still traumatised to this day.
Noshed off your brother. Poor bitch. Fuck. How'd you get over that?
Not off your other brother, your sister. Just legalise it. It's legal,
like
though, isn't
I don't it? Think that, I don't think that balances it out.
Doesn't it?
I don't think so.
Oh, you could have told me. He radiated anger. You radiated it, mate. That's what happens when you get incest and you get inbreeding. You start radiating feelings out of your skin.
Next to him and he was very warm.
He was warm with anger. He radiated anger at the thought of the origins of his conception, likely the result of sexual assault of his mother carried out by his grandfather. Oh, where did this go? I must have bit out of it, didn't I?
Why was a grandfather involved?
I don't know. But the meanwhile, Virginia native Steve... Oh, sorry, I've missed a whole bit out here. Sorry,
fucking
guys.
Hell.
Sorry, guys. I've missed a bit out here. This is a different story.
This is the bit where it didn't happen.
Well, this is the... I'm reading this like I'm putting
this
together
is a
some Bowie...
documentary.
Some Bowie lyrics, yeah. Meanwhile, Virginia native Steve Edsel found out via Ancestry DNA that his parents were first-degree relatives.
Murderers. Oh, so he's not. Okay.
So
let me get this right. So he's not shagged his sister. He found out his mum and dad were brother and sister.
No, I've mixed up two stories completely here. Yeah. Yeah. It's too late to go back and try and unpick this. But basically, they're all bumming each other. But it's the picture, Gaz, that they put in. I'm going to have to put it in the chat for
is
you.
Is it here. A picture of her looking sad, sat outside? Because that's normally what it is in those magazines, isn't it?
Bummed your brother? ?
Victoria, 39. Looking really sad, like in Woman's Own.
Yeah, this is it. But this is the picture they went with. And I'll put it on the picture on the computer for you.
Guys. Oh, no. 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 No, I'm just thinking it's a little while in the middle.
That's the picture you went with. That even more than anything was that crying. It's just... that's not even that, Gaz. That's a genuine photo. That's not like someone's come in and gone, well, we need you to pay you. Somebody who's been inbred.
He's dribbling. Who's who in that?
I don't know. Was it? I don't know. Is the three? Is it the Beatles? Bee Gees? I don't know. But that's the picture they went with, Gaz. So, like, you know.
I don't understand.
I think that's a stock photo. Oh, no, incest.
No, it says YouTube soft white underbelly. You've got three people.
Soft white underbelly.
Is one of them meant to be a woman?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't think that far ahead. Wait a minute. Incestual family, it says underneath here, well, I've just took the picture from, so the caption underneath it is, incestual family relationships have garnered increased public interest after a 2004 documentary, as well as exclusive DailyMail.com reporting about America's most inbred family, the White Takers. Oh, well, there's something to watch later, Gaz.
Soft white...
Put White Takers in.
Underbelly.
Oh, my God, I'm crying. It's the photo they
were. It's a YouTube channel. It's the American channel. A former commercial photographer interviews people who are.
You should put the White Takers in, guys, if you're at home. Inbred.
Christ, I didn't realise it was bloody interactive. Right.
Inbred. Inside an inbred family. God, this is good stuff, guys. If you've just never heard this show before and you've tuned into a corker this week. Inside America's inbred family. That's a poor choice of words.
So it's the Whittakers. Their surname Whittaker, not White Taker.
Potato, potato. Inside America's most inbred family, members of West Virginia's Whittakers family would bark at people and only communicate through grunts while living in squalor overrun with animals.
Jesus wept.
Oh, my God, I'm in tears.
Oh, mate. I mean, you got a feel for the kid, don't you?
Is that the kid in the middle?
The picture I'm looking at, the middle actually looks like... I don't know who that looks like. But they are... I mean, this is the fucking Adams family.
It is, isn't it? Literally the fucking Adams family. Oh, wow. I mean, they look happy, though, Gaz, to be fair. You know, don't judge it. They look happier than we do most of the time.
I'd rather be unhappy. Oh, I feel for the kids because they ain't done it. Do you know what I mean? Well, not yet.
Not yet.
It's likely they will.
Oh, there's even more photos down there, guys. This is amazing. Oh, they've got a family tree. America's most inbred family tree. It's a stick. It's a goal. It's a football goal, basically. It's a net. This is two posts with a net in the middle.
And there's the grandmother.
Oh, mate. They've got a family tree. And Timmy Allen is the... Timmy Allen is his name, is the one in the middle.
He's
the result of all of that inbreeding.
Well done, Tim. Timmy Allen, no wonder he got sacked as Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, mate. That's made my day. Right. Yeah, that's even worse. I mean, you get some inbreeding going around here in Norfolk, but... That is next level inbreeding. So that was my first what have.
I feel like I, well, you're winning 1-0 so far. I feel like I should show an image now myself of my next one. Wait a minute. So do you remember there was a viral video, right, recently, I think it was TikTok, where a woman is picked up by the shutters of a shop.
Yes, I do, yeah.
Right?
You sent me it, I guess.
Yeah, so, and she doesn't let go of the bag.
Yeah.
So we were discussing the fact that I want to know what's in that bag, because she's getting picked up by these shutters and she's not letting go of the bag right at any point. So this is what has just been commissioned. Let me put it in the group chat, right? It's going to take forever now, isn't it, just to be annoying. This is dreadful, dreadful listening. At least
you'll see the image. Yeah, you'll see the image there. So, guys, you can go over and look at the Whittakers and Google them and see the images for yourself.
It's saved as a .webp file. Oh, is that a mare?
What's a p-file? I don't want to touch anything that says p-file on the internet.
If you click that, it should open.
I dread to think, okay, if I click this, no. I know what you mean, because you sent me this clip. You sent me this. You have to send me the... They've basically sprayed it on the shutters, haven't they?
Yeah, there's a mural of it, of her being lifted up whilst holding onto the bag. And it's amazing.
But isn't she to the side where they took the photo, so she's quite happy about it?
Yeah, she's posing with it. Imagine that.
Yeah.
I was famous once when I was a bit younger. I mean, she's not that young now, is she? But you tell that story. If I was famous once, wait, what happened? I got picked up by some shutters and I wouldn't let go of my shopping trolley. Went viral. Right.
I don't believe you. You don't believe me. Get your coat.
Got a bloody mural on the wall.
Yeah, get your coat. We're going down Martin's. Because still there.
Don't like murals. They're normally anti-Semitic, aren't they, murals? But that one's all right.
Everything's anti-Semitic nowadays. Everything. That leads nicely into my next one about the rabbi. You've got to see this with Candice Owens.
Yeah.
So Candice Owens, guys, has been accused of being anti-Semitic. Always is, by a rabbi. Every week we've got a new story where she's been told by a rabbi who sells sex toys that she's been anti-Semitic. With his daughter. So there's a bit of... Which links us back to the inbreeding story here, doesn't it? Nicely.
Imagine that. What do you do? I sell sex toys with my dad.
What? Go again. I think I misheard that. What do you do?
Oh, no. It sounds weird, actually, when you say it. But let me explain. It's not weird because my dad's a rabbi.
Oh, it sounds like it's getting weirder. Go on.
Okay. He's you know, he claimed on film to kill Michael Jackson. Is that weird?
All right. Okay. So wait a minute. Your dad, you sell sex toys with your dad through your company, and he might be the person that killed Michael Jackson.
Well, I don't know if he is or not, but he said on film that he was. So,
right. Okay.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I know that he was in the ballpark, but I didn't know if he claimed that he actually did kill Michael Jackson. No.
Yeah. I saw a video of it, but I only saw a clip, and I was thinking, it's difficult when you only see a clip of whether he's actually trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But it's still just a weird thing to come out with.
It is a weird thing to come out with. He was a weird man who kept speaking. Basically, guys, if you don't know, Rabbi Shmuley Botek, or Boteach, is a Chabadnik. I got that in there eventually.
There we go, Tarabin.
There you go. he was befriended Michael Jackson in the early 2000s, and basically, whilst he was being plied with morphine and off his tits, decided it would be nice, as a friend, to record the phone calls to try and get some dirt on him. But when Michael Jackson didn't reveal anything, they just put them out anyway in 2010 after Michael Jackson died, in audio and book form. And I've actually bought the book, so I can't really complain. But it's Michael Jackson off his tits on morphine for 300 pages. I've spent worse money.
It's all a bit... It'll be one of those. Jackson will be one of those where stuff comes out 30, 40 years from now, I reckon. Yeah. I think Prince will be the same.
Yeah, I think Prince was oft in his lift, if he was dead at all. But yeah, this one, she's been accused of using an anti-Semitic slur, and the word was hag.
Why is that anti-Semitic?
It's not, obviously, is it? So this guy is saying that basically that term is anti-Semitic because it goes back to somewhere in the Middle East, but it doesn't. When you actually look into it, hag is a term from Middle England, which was a generic term for witch from Middle England. Nothing to do with the Middle East at all. But yes, now she, everybody's pelting him in the comments like that's not even close to being true. That one.
No, nothing to do with the Middle East is quite interesting as well, isn't it? It's funny how many things have nothing to do with the Middle East.
But can be connected to them, yeah.
Yeah, like lots of people that live there now in a stolen country.
That have no connection to it at all.
Absolutely no. I mean, yeah. What part of your Middle East heritage led you to have pale skin and ginger hair? Wow.
Well, yeah. Actually, so the pale skin and ginger hair, from what I can understand, actually goes back to Iran.
Iran?
Yeah, Iran. I ran a barbershop and then they just dyed his hair red. But yeah, apparently some of it goes back to Iran. The redhead part of it and the Caucasian part of it. It's Turkey and all of that sort of stuff. So it's worth looking into that. But yes, they basically appropriate other people's histories and just kind of incorporate it themselves. They steal it. Which where the word Scion is the origins of the word Zion, which means to graft onto. Which basically means I'm going to take something of yours and pretend it's mine. And live off that bit. I'm not talking about all Jewish people. It's a faith. I'm talking about these Zionists. By the way,
you can also say what you want because
fuck it. Well, you can't say apart from Hag anymore. But I think Candy so. And there's things she says I don't agree with. But she is very much on board with all of this this stuff. She's doing good stuff. It's a bit strange with Candy. So what is your take on her? Because doesn't she work with like the people like Ben Shapiro at the same place?
Yeah, but I think you know she's also too big to drop now, as far as they're concerned. I like her. I mean, there's things that I won't agree with her on, and she won't agree with me on, because that's fine. But she does seem to. What I like about her is that she won't be bullied.
Mm.
Like, she's literally not having it. I think she's quite a formidable person. And so I think if you poke her with a stick, she will snatch the stick off and smack you back with it. And I quite like that. Because she's had this rabbi. She's had him on toast for weeks now.
Oh, yeah, he's going catatonic, isn't he?
Like, he's losing his mind because he's not used to it. He's not used to being refused sweets at the checkout, as a lot of these entitled fuckers are. They're used to being, you know, basically beyond reproach. No one will disagree with them. No one will say anything against them because they'd be scared of being called names. Well, he's calling her names and she's not giving a shit.
And none of us care.
He's not used to that. Yeah. He's not used to it.
And they've lost that little power now. That's gone. Like, no one cares anymore. So, you know, now
they're that's the problem, though. It's lost all meaning. We've said this for a long time that this was what was happening. Same with racism. If everything's racist, nothing is. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with anti-Semitism. If someone can say something, if someone wants to say that it's bad to kill children and they get called an anti-Semite for it, then the word doesn't have any fucking meaning.
No.
What's the point? What's the point in what you've just said? It doesn't have any meaning. So therefore, when there's actual acts of racial discrimination or religious discrimination or whatever, then it just gets overlooked because it gets tarred in the same. If someone says to me now, oh, you know, so-and-so is a racist, or you know, so-and-so is an anti-Semite, my first thought is, yeah, but is he though?
my first thought is, probably not.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then you've got to prove it.
Probably not then. Just said something you didn't like once.
What's the next one then? So that was, I had Candice Owens down as one of them, bless her, with the rabbi. She can't say the word, you can't say the word hag, apparently it's anti-Semitic, but it's not. It's actually a Middle English term that means witch.
Right, my one is Matthew Stadlen. He's apparently a journalist. He's basically, he competes with Sadiq Khan in the being on the wrong side of everything game. And so while people were discussing the best part of 3 years ago about the fact that London was an absolute shithole and how it was getting worse, which it is, and how crime is going through the roof, and you've got basically a mayor that's just spunking a load of money on shite, virtue signalling things as opposed to actually trying to actually sort out what's going on with his city. And he's more about sort of stoking Rachel.
From Friends.
He's more about stoking racial, fault lines, really. He's more, I think Sadiq comes out with stuff that I actually think, well, actually that is racist, in the fact that you're, you know, there's films on in the capital that white people aren't allowed to watch and shit. It's like, that is absolute nonsense. you know, we have non-white only screenings. It's like, fucking hell, is it 1960s America again? What the fuck?
Yeah, didn't we do it a couple of weeks ago? It was the non-white, yeah. It was black only theatre performances.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's, yeah, but it's okay when we do it. All right, then. So this is Matthew Stadlen. This is his tweet from the 6th of October, 2021. I live in London. I've never been mugged and I never will be. I'm very much appreciated. I don't know what that means.
How do you know you'll never be mugged?
Well, this is him about 3 days ago. This is the moment a thief stole my mobile phone. Let's hope the AtMet police find him, right? And it's a bit of security, of a security image of him having the phone snatched out of his stupid fucking hand by a lad.
So he's being mugged.
He's being mugged, yes, which would never happen to him because he's very much appreciated. But what makes it even funnier? And not even a ha-ha funny, but like a, oh my goodness me, he's willing to go that far to just, like, double down. Is people then commented on it just going, for God's sake, mate, like, is this you 2 years ago or whatever saying you'll never be mugged? And he was like, yeah, and he still stands by that same opinion that actually London is a great place. And he's basically calling anyone that says it isn't a racist. He says that all the time. The racists might think this is funny, but I still love my capital city, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So he tries to suggest that the mugger is white, right? Well, obviously you can't see that because he's got a hood on, glasses, a hoodie up, like a mask that you can't see at all. But he's throwing that out there as you know, an evidence of whatever. For me, I don't give a toss what colour the robber is. He's a robber, no matter what colour he is. It doesn't matter. He's still a thief, still a criminal. But actually, when you look closely at the image, he's someone pointed out, and they said, you do realise he's taken his left glove off so that he can snatch your phone properly, and you can see his hand. Well, obviously, Matthew couldn't make out his hand because the hand was the same colour as his black top. So you've brought race into it to try and prove a point, and it's backfired on you terribly.
But he would have known, like, that the mugger was black. I mean, he would have seen the mugger, wouldn't he? Hopefully.
Well, I mean, he's totally hooded and masked and got glasses on. It's like you can't really make it out. You can only make it out because he's not got a glove on one hand. But the fact that Matthew tries to make it almost as a bit of a gotcha on people, it's like, well, like I say, the colour of the mugger is irrelevant. He's a mugger no matter what colour he is.
But he's been mugged. Like, you know what I mean? He's using his own misfortune to try and prove a point. Like, almost like he's happy he got mugged.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, if I'd made a real big fuss a couple of years ago about the fact that I was never going to get mugged, the minute I got mugged, I probably wouldn't have put it on social media.
Yeah.
I'd have just phoned the police and shown them an image and gone, this is the geezer that nicked my phone. And I'd have just sort of kept it to myself.
That's a mental illness, isn't it? How much do you want attention?
Yeah, well, yeah. There's that how it started, how it's going kind of vibe to it, which is quite amusing, I have to say. I mean, I'm not amused that the guy's been mugged. You know, I hope he gets his phone back. How can he possibly tweet more bloody nonsense if he hasn't got a phone? But it's just funny, isn't it? How life comes fast at people.
It does. It really does. Bless him. It's the state of it as well. He's taken something. He's basically, a crime's been committed to next to him. And the first thing he's gone, I'll tell the police and then I'm getting this up on socials because I don't use, this is gold.
Well, victimhood is the currency, isn't it? It's a social media currency. It never used to be. It used to be the opposite. It used to be, look how great this is that I've achieved. Now it's like, look how bad my life is. Amazing. Feel sorry for me.
I slept with my brother. But we can genetically engineer humans to survive missions to Mars.
That's a relief.
So this stood out. I mean, I was doing a bit of research. I was actually genuinely doing a bit of research. But this just jumped out at me. Look, so they will one day combine tardigrade DNA with our cells to go to Mars. Will we one day? Chris Mason, a geneticist and associate professor of psychology and biophysics at the Weill Cornell University in New York. It always happens in New York, doesn't it? Everything happens in New York. Has investigated the genetic effects of spaceflight and how humans might overcome these challenges to expand our species further into the system. Basically, they sent NASA funded two groups to send different people into space and they studied twins. I don't know, there's another group of people like to do experiments on twins. I can't quite recall. Begin with N. Something sounds like nasty or something. Researchers hope this work will continue today, might inform strategies to support astronauts' health in the future. Basically, they want to be able to change your DNA so you can stand, you can live on Mars. Now, who would that fit in well with?
I don't want to live in Mars.
I know you don't want to live. I don't want to live on Mars either. But it just shows that the transhumanist agenda and all this pushing to Mars with Musk is all connected. So they, but it also shows that they are already openly saying they want to genetically modify humans so they can live on different planets. So this is openly discussed, but it's discussed in a way that you won't connect like the dots to what Musk is doing by sending people off to Mars because he believes that he can colonize Mars because he said it in a Nazi von Braun novel about 60 years ago.
Do you believe they're actually going to do that, or that that's just how they're selling it to people, that it's almost quite exciting?
No, I don't believe. I believe he might believe that. I believe, in my point of view, is he's so messed up and psychologically destroyed by his childhood that he believes he's some sort of saviour. Absolutely, I think he believes that. But do I believe they're actually going to try and do that? No, I don't at all. Not in the slightest bit. I think there's different levels to it. But I do believe he thinks he's the saviour of humanity, trying to colonise Mars with 1 million people. I mean, openly talks about it anyway. So I believe he believes it, yeah. I do. I think
I'd rather die than go to Mars, though.
Have you been, though?
It just looks like it's a barren wasteland, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like going to Luton or something. It's like, here's your choice. You can die with like just under 7 billion others, or you can live with this 1 million people in Luton.
But this,
I'll die. Thank
you. That's a good point. You put it like that. If that was the sales pitch, I think we'd all just snuff it. We'd all just like take the pill. But so I was talking to Laura Eisenhower, obviously President Eisenhower's granddaughter, and she was talking about a thing called Alternative 3. So one of all the alternatives were basically this place is going to get blown up because we're shit, which is what Alex Jones is pushing, this end time stuff. So then it all comes together with the why he's pushing Musk. Because one of the alternatives, the first alternative was deep underground bases, which are there already. The second one was blasting holes in the ozone layer. I think that happened in the early 90s. And the other one was to let the gases out because we're destroying the world. And the last one was to colonise Mars. So he's basically alternative three, colonise Mars, is the one that Musk's been, I believe, entrained all of his life and brainwashed to think he's the leader of. And then you look at von Braun's book, Mars Project or Project Mars, when the character who colonises Mars, or sorry, takes people to Mars, which has been colonised, is called Elon. So he, in his mind, that's his destiny. So you start to put these pieces together. Call me a conspiracy theorist, but I absolutely think he believes it. But also, the really ties into that is they're going to try and destroy the world in World War III. So they're saying that it's inevitable what's going to happen. So then you have people like Alex Jones coming out saying, I can feel the end times coming. Can you feel it coming? They're propping people up to basically do what your dad said was going to happen between the East and West years ago. And then that's one of the excuses. So he's going, oh, it's going to happen, so I'm going to save a load of people by sticking them on Mars. It was all a bit fucked up, really, Gaz, to be honest. This is why I don't sleep well at night, because this stuff goes from my head.
Can we not just focus more on Joey Barton calling Jeremy Vine a bike nonce? There's much more uplifting.
That's in there too. So how do you close the gap between those two things? All of these things are happening on this planet.
Well, that's the thing. That story, though, is interesting. Joey Barton, for people around the world, is a former Premier League professional footballer who called Jeremy Vine, who is a TV presenter in the UK that pushed the jabs and all that sort of shit, is it time to just hold people down and force them to have it, character. He's always riding around on his bike and he's always filming it and he's always putting it online about how someone tried to overtake me. Well, of course they did. You're on a bike, dickhead. They're not going to sit behind you in a car, are they?
Yeah.
And so Joey Barton called him hashtag bike nonce. So now,
what Jeremy is it for anyone in America who doesn't know what a nonce is? What's a nonce?
A paedophile, a bike paedophile. So Jeremy Vine is suing Joey Barton. What I find funny about it is the fact that obviously Jeremy Vine is the guy that got Alex Belfield put away for 4 years for saying some hurty words to him. And so now he's going for Joey Barton. Joey Barton has earned a stupid amount of money in his life as a professional footballer, playing at clubs like Manchester City and Newcastle United. Yet his crowdfunding to take on Jeremy Vine, which I find a bit cheeky. I think if you're going to call someone a bike nonce, that's fine, freedom of speech. But you know the lay of the land.
And pay your way out, yeah.
I would sort of, I'd have probably squirreled a bit of money away for that because it's pretty obvious that Vine's going to do what Vine has done.
60 quid for calling bike nonce. Got to remember, take that out of the shopping budget, Karen, this week. Bike nonce. I'm going to do it. I'm tweeting it out now.
What I find interesting is that Jeremy Vine has actually made comments about other people, one of which was, I'm trying to remember who that person was now, but he described, I think, someone as the Jimmy Savile of the anti-vax movement or something like that.
Really?
And it was like, well, what's the difference between someone being the Jimmy Savile of something, who is a monumental paedophile and is solely known for being a paedophile basically nowadays, what's the difference between saying that and calling you a hashtag bike nonce? I mean,
there isn't.
They're both just stupid throwaway lines.
Here we go. Look, yeah, you're right. So wait a minute, and this is Jeremy Vine, hard to say, accuses BBC radio presenter. Jeremy Vine says accused BBC radio presenter is like the Jimmy Savile of trolling.
Now that was Alex Belfield.
Gee, just put the guy who went to prison. So he called him basically the Jimmy Savile of trolling. What has that got to do with trolling's got to do with
a paedophile?
Paedophile.
Who procured children for the rich and famous and shagged dead bodies. I'm not sure what it's got to do with it, if I'm honest. But Jeremy's found a connection. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah.
I imagine Jeremy Vine will win because I don't think the courts would have it any other way.
But for calling him a bike nonce, just go, that's just stupid.
Yeah.
It's like that they bus wanker. It's the same thing.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, how thin a skin must Jeremy Vine have?
Completely see-through by the looks of it. But it's okay for him to call the other guy who's now gone to prison the Jimmy Savile of whatever he's trolling. And he said that to a juror, by the looks of it, in the actual court.
Yeah, he's a strange one, Jeremy Vine.
He's a very strange one. I believe he might be a bit protected as well.
He's a very strange one. I do remember when someone... they were having a debate, a phone-in on his show about vaccines and whatever, and someone phoned up and got through, and they were against the vaccine, and they made quite an articulate point. And then he started talking over them, saying, you told our producer that you were pro-vaccination. You lied to get yourself on the television. And it's like, mate, that's not the win you think it is, Jeremy. What you're admitting is the fact that he had to lie and say he agreed with you so he could get on your fucking show. That's not a zinger against this dude. That zinger's against you, Jeremy.
Idiot. What an absolute idiot. He panicked, basically. He panicked and then threw out a truth that he didn't really know. Yeah, he panicked. Yeah.
Well, he's strangely thin.
He's very strangely thin, yeah. He is. He's like... like a pencil, basically.
He is basically like someone's laid a sheet over over a pencil.
The next one I've got is Tim Pool. Calling people, I mean, he's lost the plot. He got £6,000 from Elon Musk and he wet his knickers.
He really did, didn't he?
Really
Thank you so much, Elon. Thank you so much.
He sent me £6,000. What? He won't one, he won't know that. But he's meant to be a multi-billionaire and he sent you £6,000 for you to crow on his X platform. And then he's calling he's saying people have got Israel derangement syndrome.
I'm assuming then because he's on the payroll, he's very pro-Israel.
Well, he wasn't, I don't think. And now he's kind of switched like they all have. And I believe that my kind of take on it is that these half-wits are put into these positions, are built up over a certain amount of years, are like a ripcord. They've got all these stored-in things that they have to say. They won't realise it until the time comes right. And you get your Tim Pools, you get your Brett Weinsteins, you get your Tates and Carlsons and these other ones. They're buttons pushed at certain times when they have to be activated, because there's no way that people like Tim Pool, who's not a very good interviewer, he doesn't really understand any of this stuff, does no research off the back of it, has any, and Brett Weinstein too, totally clueless. There's no reason for them to have the audience they have. That they haven't, they're not offering anything unique. They're just talking about, I was going to say, they're just commenting on the news. That's what they're doing, but they're not actually adding anything. So for them to build up those audience to that level, is they're propped up. So yeah, he's had to he started to say everyone, people that are calling out Israel for what they're doing, clearly he started to sort of stick up for Israel now, which is shows you how saturated this whole alternative media is with these people that have been around and propped up for the last 6 or 7 years in order to do this. It's quite clear there's a whole little group of these people, and he's basically shown himself to be what he is now, which is a shame. I never really watched his stuff anyway, but what I have seen of it, he never seemed to be that pro-Israel before, but he certainly is now.
Yeah, I've found that that bit of footage of that rabbi talking about killing Michael Jackson. I can't make out from it whether it's a legitimate one or not, because it's sort of, they've cut some things into it. So
I see. Yeah, so it could just be mashup. I mean, he definitely did, from 2001 to about 2 years there, was recording Michael Jackson's private phone calls with him whilst he was off his head, and didn't get anything worthy of, because you have to look at the pro-Israel. He's obviously pro-Israel, the Habadnik he is, but look at the people around him that were after Michael Jackson. You've got your Harvey Weinsteins, who's very pro-Israel. You've got your Dave Geffen, who's got a ship called The Rising Sun, which is obviously symbology for Horace. They're all pro-Israel. Oprah, Paul McCartney, all pro-Israel. All of these occultists in Hollywood. He's in that gathering of people. And obviously in there with JFK, Robert Kennedy as well, which is obviously pro as well. He's Robert Kennedy's handler at the moment, I would say.
He threw in the towel, didn't he?
Did he?
RFK, without even realising it. When he started pushing that bollocks, because he lost a lot of the room.
Yeah, he did. He lost us. He lost people like us who have been promoting his stuff, and he's on board with all that. I wonder what happened. I wonder what they come out and said, look, we've got this on you, because he had a sordid history of some poorly chosen behaviour back in his drinking and drugging days. I wonder what they got, because he towed the line pretty quickly.
Yeah, end of level boss, mate. It happens every single time. That's why I've got a little bit more respect for Candice, that actually they tried to go for her and she's not having it. Mm. The interesting thing with that, though, is she's agreed, hasn't she, now to go on a trip to Israel.
Oh, she hasn't, has she?
Yeah, but she's put stipulations in there that I will go to Israel and I will go to Gaza and I will have my own reporters with me and I will have my own guide that I will bring myself and all this sort of stuff. So she knows that they're obviously going to try and give her a certain view of it.
If I was her, I wouldn't go anywhere near that. I mean, if they're going to take out people like some of the Rothschilds, I mean, not being funny, but why would you put yourself in that sort of situation?
Well, yeah, there you go. But I like the fact that, you know, she's facing Dr. Robotnik at the moment and seems to be, you know, winning, actually, if I'm honest.
And she's very pretty as well, that helps. So, you know, if you're gonna, it does help.
Robotnik, but
he likes African American women, he's told me many times that he likes that. Unless they've got some land he wants, then he's not too keen.
Not so keen.
I'll have that. No. I'll have that land. Where can people get their CBD from?
Head over to supremecbd.uk, use the code WTAF, and you get 40% what? Off everything.
You do. And we will see you in a week's time here on iconic.com.
Yes. Yeah. Pro.